Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for hanging out with us today. A new exhibit at the Goya Contemporary Gallery here in Baltimore is inspired by the civil rights activist and entrepreneur Madam C.J. Walker. She was born in 1867 in Delta, Louisiana, the first child in her family to be born after slavery. Despite having very little formal education, she created a company that manufactured and sold hair care products for black women. By the time she died in 1919, she was said to be the wealthiest self-made woman in America, black or white. The exhibition is a collection of work by the internationally acclaimed fiber artist Sonia Clark. It's called Hair Goods, an homage to Madam C.J. Walker. Sonia Clark joins us from her office at Amherst College in Massachusetts, where she is a professor of art and the history of art. Ms. Clark, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome to be here. I'm glad you could join us. And Amy Race is the executive director and partner at Goya Contemporary Gallery and the curator of this exhibition. She's with me here in Studio A. Amy, good to see you.
Hi, Tom. Pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
And Alelia Bundles also joins us on the line. She's in New York. She's a former journalist and network television executive and the author of a book called On Her Own Ground, the first comprehensive biography of Madam C.J. Walker, who was her great-great-grandmother. Ms. Bundles, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here with all of you.
So, Ms. Bundles, let me start with you. Tell us what you know about Madam C.J. Walker. You actually know more about her than anybody else. So, I gave the rough outline.
You already gave the audience a good introduction to her, that the trajectory of her life was going from a person born on a plantation to becoming a millionaire. And this is the 100th anniversary of her death. She died in her mansion in Irvington, New York, in May of 1919. And by then, she was employing 20,000 women who were selling her hair care products, her Madam Walker's wonderful hair grower.
Wonderful hair grower. So what kinds of products were these? What did they do? And her audience was specifically African-American women.
That's right. So she, at a time when most people didn't have indoor plumbing, hygiene was really different. People had a lot of bad dandruff, and her shampoo cleansed their scalp, and her wonderful hair grower was an ointment with sulfur that healed dandruff and healed infections, and women's hair could grow as a result once their scalps were healthy.
And obviously, she didn't go to business school or something, right? I mean, she came from, as you said, a plantation. I mean, what do you think it was about her that gave her the capacity to, literally start from nothing and build this huge company?
Well, necessity was the mother of invention, but her older brothers had a barber shop in St. Louis, and so I think she began to learn something from them, and then trial and error, she came up with this idea. It was really pretty basic. It was an era before aspirin, so all of those new breakthroughs in medicine were pretty revolutionary for the time. But I'm really happy to say, when you mentioned B-School, that she now is a part of the curriculum at Harvard Business School. She's one of the case studies.
She's a case study.
She could have taught the business school class.
That is terrific. Sonia Clark, how did you respond to the story of Madam C.J. Walker?
Oh, I think as a black woman born in Washington, D.C., I think that Madam C.J. Walker is one of the seminal figures in American history, but also in African-American history, certainly. And so I had the pleasure of meeting Alelia Bundles when she had first written the autobiography of her great-great-grandmother. And I believe that was in 2001. It's a phenomenal story. And since I'm someone who is always using hair and textiles as a way to speak about empowerment, racial justice, it just seemed like she was a wonderful figure to use. Also, I feel connected to her because she was born 100 years before I was. So this is the centennial of her becoming an ancestor, but she was born in 1867, and I was born in 1967, so I feel connected in that way as well.
Yeah, that's a cool connection. And describe, if you will, it's always a tough thing to ask an artist to describe her work, but when folks go to the gallery, what will they see? These are not paintings. You're a fiber artist. What does that mean? What are the materials that you use, and how are they presented?
So one of the reasons that I use textiles is that my grandmother was a tailor by trade, and so that's not so unusual. So many African women of African descent, in this case, my grandmother was a Jamaican woman, used craft-based media as a way of making money. When you walk into the gallery, the first thing that you will see is that you're surrounded by photographs of women who are facing the camera, and then a woman whose head is, you see the back of her head, and on the back of her head are these elaborate hairstyles. Now, I happen to be the woman who is the back of the head, right? The canvas, and the women who are facing you are the artists who did my hair. Also in the space are two seats, one that is an upholstered chair that has thread stitched to it, and then that thread has been cornrowed, and the other is a salon chair that has been beaded. And it's in those two chairs that Alilia and I performed just last Friday. And I'm happy to tell you more about that performance.
Sure, let's come back to that, but let me move to Amy Race. It's interesting that Madam C.J. Walker, you're an art curator, you own a gallery, and you're presenting an art exhibition, but art is only one of the prisms with which one can understand and appreciate this really incredible woman.
That's true, but we do think that exhibitions do produce knowledge, so this is a fairly didactic exhibition. And, you know, for us, it is that being present isn't always being included. So we have the ability through this exhibition to highlight these amazing artists. And Sonia has two other exhibitions that are coming up in Philadelphia, also in March. So she's going to be highlighted all around this region, actually.
But it's interesting, you can look at Madam C.J. Walker from the perspective of business. I mean, mm-hmm. Alilia Bundles mentioned she's a case study at the Harvard Business School, but also feminism, economic development. I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, she's one of the great American stories in American history, but she's often omitted from textbooks, so... it's our pleasure to be able to bring her to the fore. We've had an enormous response to this exhibition. There have been museums coming from out of town. There have been guests coming from out of town, viewers and collectors from all over to see this exhibition and to celebrate not just Madam C.J. Walker, but contemporaries who talk about strong African-American women. You know, America is made up of all of our stories. It's made up of the stories of women. It's made up of the stories of Native Americans. It's made up of the stories of people of color. And we have to always keep reminding people. And if your last segment about Delegate Lisanti doesn't show evidence that we still need to have this discussion, well, then I don't know what does.
Yeah, indeed. And Alilia Bundles, Madam C.J. Walker produced generational wealth that obviously had an impact on your family, but also the impact was on the African community, African-American community at large. Talk about how that impact was felt and demonstrated.
Well, you know, at that time when she first started, most African-American women who worked were either maids or laundresses or sharecroppers, and she provided an opportunity for them to have independent income. They could become economically independent, and as a result, they bought homes and educated their children and contributed to charities in their communities. It really surprises me the number of people who will tell me, my grandmother, my great aunt, somebody in my family was a Walker agent, and therefore then she began to buy real estate. So it really did have a huge impact beyond just the act of styling hair.
And Sonia Clark, there's a guy named Bill Gaskins who observes that hairdressing is the primordial fiber art. And it's fascinating to me that you use literally your own hair in the work that you do. Talk about the primordial significance of hair and the people who work with hair in the African American community.
Right. So I like to think that I'm working with modern day Madam C.J. Walkers, that the 12 stylists that are represented in the photographs, the two that we worked with in the performance that are also part of that project, they know Madam C.J. Walker's legacy, and they are artists. And so one of the things that I wanted to do in honoring Madam C.J. Walker was to honor the legacy of her through the contemporary producers of hairstyling, to elucidate, shine light, and amplify these African American women who are entrepreneurs themselves, who have their own businesses, who are bringing beauty and heritage and light to the heads of African American women. So in my artwork, one of the things that I'm doing is thinking about the hair that we grow as being no different than the fiber that is used to weave a cloth or knit a sweater. And that connection is one that really has a lot to do with who we are as human beings. The clothes that we wear tell us something about ourselves, but also the hair that we grow, how we grow it, and its texture tells us something about ourselves as well. Most women, most black women, have a hair story. But in each strand of hair holds our biological story, that is to say, the legacy of our DNA. So each strand of hair tells us who we are. And then what we do with that hair tells us something in a community of who we are. So there's this constant communication. And I do think that that's one of the main reasons one of the main reasons that I'm an artist, to amplify and to communicate and sometimes to build bridges across rivers that exist.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this exhibition, I was put in mind of Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's book. She's the Nigerian American author and the first scene of Americana, which is a wonderful novel, takes place in a hair weaving salon outside of Princeton, New Jersey. And she writes a lot about how central that is to life in African American communities around the country. And in Lilia Bundles, your book is called On My Own Ground. That comes from a quote from C.J. Walker, Madam C.J. Walker, who said, "I'm a woman who came from the cotton fields of the South. From there, I was promoted to the washtub. From there, I was promoted to the cook kitchen. And from there, I promoted myself into the business of manufacturing hair goods and preparations. I have built my own factory on my own ground." I mean, this was extraordinary for a black woman in the 19th century to have accomplished.
You know, absolutely, that she would come from the difficulties in life that she had and then to make this money, to build this factory, and then to use her wealth and her influence as a philanthropist who supported the anti-lynching movement. I think of her as Black Lives Matter 1.0, as a patron of the arts, as someone who was politically outspoken, and then to realize that it can still inspire people in the way, her legacy inspires people in the way that Sonia has really taken this to a next level and dug down so deeply in terms of what identity means and, you know, what that power of identity means and how it propels people.
And the cultural symbols of Sonia Clark's work, you know, the use of combs in the pieces and as we mentioned, the hair. I mean, Sonia Clark, let's give you the last word here as we finish up. Those are very, very much connected to Madam C.J. Walker and to the community at large.
Right. And, you know, one of that quotation that you just shared with us, Tom, is actually in one of the pieces in the show. I take these very ubiquitous, everyday pocket black plastic pocket combs and stitch on them the words from that very quotation to give us the sense that even in the everyday, there is beauty, there is power. And the women that that I have the privilege of working with, women like Lilia Bundles, women like Jamila Graham, women like Kamala Bhagat, women like Amy Race, these women possess so much power, and my charge is to amplify that power, because together were even that much more powerful. It's
Sonia
an electric charge when you gather women, powerful women in the room.
Powerful women, an electric charge indeed. And I'm delighted that you three wonderful, wonderfully powerful women have joined us this afternoon. Thank you all so much. Really appreciate it. Sonia Clark is an internationally acclaimed fiber artist, a professor of art at the history of art at Amherst College. Alelia Bundles is the author of On Her Own Ground, a biography of her great-great-grandmother, Madam C.J. Walker. An 8-part Netflix series is based on the book, and it's scheduled to air in 2020. Amy Race is the executive director and partner at Goya Contemporary Gallery. She's the curator of this exhibition called Hair Goods, an homage to Madam C.J. Walker. It's at Goya until the 16th, and we've got a link on our website, wipr.org/midday. We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small-batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. Inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s, Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. They're available at the Waverly Farmers Market and at bottomsupbagels.com. I want to thank Midday's director and engineer, the one and only Luke Spicknell. Rob Civic, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produce our program. Jamila Krempel is WIPR's digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our interns are Morgan Ome and Abba Amoa. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.